Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I was actually thinking of this because I've been in places recently where there's a lot of elevator music going on. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you.
Who sang that?
Guess.
Was it Bonnie Tyler?
Air Supply.
Air Supply, that's right. Were they a one-hit wonder?
No, they had a few songs.
Right.
Can we just tell a quick story about Gabby?
Yeah.
Okay, she sent me a snap with her and her partner. And they're playing these songs.
Yeah.
And there's the snippets of these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like completely bewildered that she knows every single one of those songs.
Like from the 80s or 70s.
From the 80s and 90s. And they're like these really random songs. And she's like, and his face is like, how do you even know that?
Yeah.
Like, it was so cute.
Yeah, that's good when you grow up in a house with music, actually.
Where there's lots of that. And I love that. I love those old. I've got the most random mix on my Spotify. And it's literally completely random songs, and I love it because you could get anything in there. Yeah,
I played a song the other day and Lola went to me, Dad, this is the sort of song that they would play at the beginning of Tomorrowland, isn't it? And I went, yeah. She goes, I love this song.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's my girl.
She's actually got great taste in music.
She's
whenever she gets into the car with me, she kind of plays that. This is my vibe at the moment. And then if it's like raining, she's got a different sort of soundtrack that she'll use. She's got a different sort of vibe for different feelings. And
yeah,
so
she's a very vivacious, vibey young woman.
She's got this very eclectic taste as well in music,
great.
So it's really good. I love that. Anyway, talking about old songs, the content today, how to find clarity and purpose in life transitions. I think that was Gabby's way of saying, now that you're middle-aged...
Yeah.
How do you find clarity and purpose in your life? But it wasn't just middle age. It's just about transitioning. So I think I want to start with this, right?
What are you transitioning to?
Well, you're transitioning to a new phase of life. And you talk about all the time, the 0 to 7,
yeah,
7
yeah,
to 14
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of. And at different phases of our lives, we have different desires, we have different motives, we have different needs, we have different, you know, guiding lights, I suppose, in our different phases of life. I think I noticed it through the years. I had a full-blown meltdown just before I turned 40. I can talk about that another time or later on. But I remember turning 50, and it started when I turned 48 that I was starting to really, really, really feel like my tolerance of the people around me, situations around me, really started to drop. Right? It feels like I'm keeping you up a lot today.
I did. I had some sugar a minute ago. Once I had...
So it's not me. You, no, okay.
Kind of.
Okay. But, so I think when I turned 48, I started to feel like my tolerance for behaviour, things that didn't align with me, really, really drop. And I think maybe I could handle it before and I couldn't then. 49, it took another turn, and by the time I turned 50, I'm like, oh, fuck that. I am not.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in playing those games, or I'm not interested in having that drama, or I'm not interested in X, Y, Z, right? So I really noticed that when I turned 50.
Do you think it's because you now start to realise you've left less time?
Look, I actually don't know about it being the time left. I feel it might be. I think there's certain elements of the transition period that, yes, it is. But I think in this, I think you've lived long enough that you kind of like, I found myself saying, I'm 50 now, I don't really need to deal with that shit. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I've had my time where I've put up with X, Y, Z, or put up with, I don't know, dealing with stuff that doesn't fully align with my values. And so my mindset is kind of like, well, I don't need that anymore. Like I'm just, I'm at a time in my life where I'd like to I'd have a different experience of life, if that makes sense. So I think it's more about the fact that I've grown, it's sort of almost naturally grown that I'm like, when people get older, they feel like, I'm old now, I can say whatever the fuck I want, you know, what are they going to say to me, what are they going to do, you know? And I feel like it's a little bit of that. And I think over time you become clearer and clearer with your values, clearer and clearer to what's important to you, who's important to you, the things that matter most. And then when I personally used to connect a lot through drama. We've spoken about this before in terms of, you know, connecting. And I think that was my inability to, in my earlier years, to be able to just connect with what I wanted to connect with. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like, for me, where the clarity and purpose comes in is really starting. I feel like you have a more grounded knowledge and awareness of who you are, what your values are, what you love, and things start to not fit into that. And I personally feel like you become a little bit intolerant of that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what happened at 50. That didn't happen at 40, as in terms of the intolerance. But I think where I think people have the crisis of the midlife crisis is when I did an actual post on this once on my socials, that maybe it's not so much a midlife crisis. Maybe it's you stepping into your values for the first time. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that's kind of what it is. I feel like as you get older, you feel less and less willing to step aside from the things that are important to you.
Yeah, I think the way I see it is we have the stages of life which happen in lots of sevens. So you're the 7, 7, 14, 14, 21, 21, 28, 28 to 35, 35 to 42, 42 to 49, 49 to 56. And so these are the stages in life that we have, and each stage has its own position in terms of our development as a person. But I also feel that if you do not value your life and you value other people's lives, and you give, like I see this with a lot of parents, the kids come along and the parents just make their life all about the children, and then and it starts off where the child turns up, but the parents don't realize you don't own the child.
Mm-hmm.
And the child is going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the child is going to want their independence, and they're going to go through their own cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 14, parents lose their banana because they fucking can't control their 14-year-old, and all their 14-year-old is trying to do is get set distance from them. They're trying to find their independence, and the 14-year-old feels as if to get their independence, they're going to hurt the parent. So what they do is they fight with the parent, they can take their independence aggressively, so they fight with the parent because they're trying to feel right in what they're doing in leaving. And feeling right in what they're doing in leaving, that's tends to hurt the parent and makes a gap. And then 21 to 28 is where the child goes off and has a good time and blows themselves up. But if the parent has been all about the child, what happens for the parent is that they feel as if there's a massive gap there. They feel as if they're, you know, suddenly there's an empty house. Suddenly there's empty bedrooms. And that's, now the parent just, you know, they don't know who they are with the husband and without the kids. So it can cause all sorts of strife within the household and between the relationship of the husband and the wife, because the husband and the wife were so focused on the kids. Now the focus has to go back onto themselves. They're looking at each other instead of at the child. And when they look at each other instead of at the child, they can tend to, you know, do one or two things. They're either going to come together or they're going to push each other and repel each other and push each other apart. And so I think that those gaps that parents feel and the space that people feel as they go through is generally because the parent has not had enough insight to make sure that if a gap appears, you're always focused on your vision and your mission and what it is, the life that you want to create. You should always be pushing towards the life that you want to create. It means that the cycles you're going to go through over time are going to be easier. But if your focus is your children, and the cost of that is your focus on you and what's important to you.
Well, it doesn't have to be just your children. I understand what you're saying. So if you're having a midlife crisis because your kids have left home and because your whole identity has been wrapped up in being a mum, then because you have not had the focus on you or the dad, that if you've not had the focus on you, then the minute that you're left with yourself, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
so it becomes a crisis. But then that can happen in other areas. So you can do that in terms of work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can do that in terms of He's retired. Oh, he's driving me mad. Go out and play golf. Go back to work.
Yeah.
You know, and the kids have left home. I've nothing to do. Oh, he's driving me mad. You know, no, it's just the two of us now. The kids are gone. You know, and
so it's basically what you're saying is that the reason that we have these crises, if we're in a transition period of our life, is because we potentially haven't focused on ourselves, and or we've attached a version of ourselves or a part of ourselves to this identity of who we perceive we need to be in a certain scenario, whether that's the person you are at work, the person you are in your business, the person you are in your family, the person, whatever. Mm. And because you've attached your identity to that, and now that identity is being questioned, you end up in that crisis kind of sense. Mm. So the way to overcome that is really to consistently be looking ways to give back to yourself, to find yourself, to know, to learn about yourself, to grow as an individual rather than just as a mum or as an entrepreneur or as an employee or whatever it is that you attached a big chunk of your identity. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because you're losing your identity.
Yeah.
And how many parents do this? How many people attach themselves to their career and their job?
Yeah.
How many people lose their identity there because they spend 12 hours a day there for 30 years of their life?
Well, because I noticed when I turned 40, I had a massive... it wasn't like... you know, it wasn't depths of despair or any of that sort of stuff, but it really started to hit me that I was turning 40. Mm. So you know the thing about the age thing? Mm. I didn't feel that at 50. I felt that at 40 for me. And I'm not saying it won't ever come back. Maybe at 60 I'll have moments of it as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely didn't feel it like that at 50. But at 40 I was like, what have I done with my life? And like, it was like all of this stuff. And it was... And it's funny because one of my friends, her birthday's a month before me, and because I perceived that she had some of the things that I didn't have, I was like, you don't have the right to go through a crisis, you know what I mean? And she's looking at me going, you've got all these things that I don't have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was just a moment in time where it was like I realised, okay, 40, this is another step, and where am I? So it's really the crisis and the chaos is always you. We say that the precursor to transformation is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So the chaos comes and that crisis comes before a transformation is afoot. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's designed to show you who you are. It's designed to show you what you value. It's designed to show you what you want to achieve and regroup and reassess and look back at yourself, you know?
Yeah, I think, from the dawning of your day, you know, to the, you know, the setting on your life at nighttime, you need to know where you're going. You need to have, you know, I say this all the time on this podcast, but we say it about pregnancy, you know, if you don't embrace the new reality, you'll regret your past life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't embrace where it is you're going, if you don't sit down with your partner and plan out what you guys are going to do, if you don't sit down with your partner and plan out the life that you want, if you do not have an idea of where you're going and embrace that life as quickly as possible, you will spend your life regretting everything that's gone on. And then it takes everything off you. And eventually it takes your life.
So then how do you find that clarity and purpose, do you feel? Like,
well, it's simple. Just ask yourself, what are the things you would love to be doing in your life? Where are the places you would love to have travelled to? Who are the people you would love to hang out with? You know,
it's still being inquisitive, like I was saying earlier.
And in me pursuing those things, how am I contributing to the world?
Yeah.
How am I contributing to my family? How am I you know, like I say to my parents all the time, just fucking go and enjoy your lives, guys.
Yeah.
Just go and have fun.
Yeah.
And my old man says to me all the time, I am enjoying my life. Yeah. I am having fun. I'm like, but you're working with me and you're working for me. And he goes, that's what I love doing, son.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, then...
I mean, he takes a good 2 months off every year to go to Europe.
Europe now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but that's how I got that from my old man. Just do what you friggin' love. And I think I'm probably going to be like my father in terms of my kids. Like, I love my children. I love being there for them. I love hanging out with them. I love spending time with them. You know, I listen to them refer to me as, you know, their mate as well as their father, you know, and that they really, really, I have a really great bond individually with all of them. And yeah, I think that, you know, no matter what I do, no matter what we do, you're always going to have that bond, but you need to show them to live their lives to the full for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to put yourself first. Now, we have to, as quickly as we can, within this generation, breed out of people and out of our children low self-worth. And the only fucking way we're going to do that is if we have to get that, we have to put ourselves first.
So
over and above anybody else, including your children.
Okay. So let's talk about the children then, right? Well, not the children, but we're well and truly past those young years, right?
Yeah.
But I find a lot of people early 20s are having those little mini crises, those life transition crises. Even before that, like going from high school to young adult life where they're having to take some responsibilities, going from that young adult to that full working life, going into the, you know, so some of the young ones, how would you talk to them about that finding of the clarity and the purpose?
Well, I would say to them, what is the one thing that you do that you absolutely love doing?
Mm.
And build your life around being able to do that as often as you possibly can. What is that one thing? So if you love traveling, then build your life, build a career that allows you the ability to travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you love building, then build a career that is based around your ability to do that. If you love educating yourself, then build a life that allows you to travel the world and hang out with like-minded people and educate yourself. If you love sport, then build a life or a career that allows you the foresight and the insight to be able to immerse yourself in the passion and the inspiration that comes from sport.
Do you think that? I think that the young ones still have that identity crisis in the sense of they've identified with somebody who's maybe taken care of them, or, you know, mum's been there to manage certain things.
Oh, we see it all the time. I owe my parents.
Yeah.
You know, and then ultimately, this is one of the reasons why, you know, the amount of people that I've, young people that I've sat down with over the years, that I've said to them, you don't owe your parents anything other than to shine. Because if you were in any way indebted to your parents, and this is when I meet kids that are lost, right? They're fucking lost. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm so fucking lost. And what happens is that they feel as if they owe their parents, and then they work out at around about 18 to 24 that there's nothing they could ever do to repay that parent, so they don't end up doing anything. And they think, so why bother?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I? You know, and then they go, I've no energy, I've no inspiration, because they feel there's nothing I can do to repay them.
Mm.
There's nothing I can do with
them. And obviously
lifetime.
That's a subconscious thing, right?
Yeah, it's not, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, the minute you talk to them about
then,
it,
then
it
becomes
sense.
Conscious,
go,
yeah, yeah.
That's fucking exactly what I'm doing. And I'm like, of course.
So you feel like the lostness comes from this inability or this perception of themselves? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That makes them feel, okay. So then, overcoming that. So obviously we know how to overcome that. You come work with us. You do relationships and you work with breaking through or flip the script and you work with breaking through. We can help with that, right? But just on general practical basis, you're basically saying it's about going back to doing the things that you love, finding
yeah.
what you love and understanding that what you love is
what a great question to ask yourself.
Mm.
What a truly fucking inspiring question and empowering question to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things, because, and remember, it can always be focused or many, right?
Focus or despair.
So it can be either one thing or numerous things that you love doing.
Mm-hmm.
But just answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question, once you work out what are the things that I do that I absolutely love doing, the next question you've got to ask yourself is, how do I get to do these and be paid?
Mm.
How do I get to do this stuff and be fucking paid so handsomely for it and get paid?
I think what I would say to the young people as well, though, is that when you're at that age, you don't realise how much life you have ahead of you. Like, even at our age, there's so much life ahead of us. Do you know what I mean? Years and years. I mean, never know, obviously, but there's years of life ahead. When we don't know what to do, and when we're trying to find the clarity and purpose in those transitional periods, I think the focus, like we've been saying, is find you, like understand you, your values,
yeah.
etc. But I think people want to have it all or want to have all the answers instead of maybe just doing the next right thing.
Yeah.
What's taking the next right step?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're trying to do all of it, but they can't see all of it. They understand what that kind of might look like for them in a few years' time, but they can't see it.
Mm.
So on top of, you know, understanding, you know, this is who I am, this is what I love, this is how I want to impact the world, what's the next right thing I can do? What's the next step I can take? Because you can only take one step at a time, and we're trying to do it all instead of understanding that you can't. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so even when I was, you know, having my little transitional moments, it's like I can only do what I can do in this moment, and this and those moments gave me the realizations to and the awareness to see, okay, these are the things and these are the transformations that I would like to sort of facilitate in my own life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I think that sometimes I feel like because we're older now, we feel a bit removed from, you know, I don't know about you actually, I shouldn't speak for you, but I feel sometimes a bit removed from the version of me that was like 18, 19, didn't really know what was going on. And was just sort of flapping around, not really sure.
What a great time.
Oh, I understand now, looking back, it was, you know. And if I could give myself some advice, it'd be like, go for it. Just live it, you know, it's okay. But it's always with the ability of hindsight to be able to say that. So,
I say to my kids all the time, you know, I'm like, guys, as soon as you fucking hit 18, just get a ticket and just go home. And just have a look around the world.
Yeah, but I agree with that, right? So I have no problem with that, right? But just say, this is something I've been meaning to say to you. You've got, if that's your value.
Yeah.
If your kids don't have that value.
Yeah, of course.
Then they would also feel a pressure to go and do that, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that could be a little bit of a crisis for them. I'm not saying I feel like understanding and knowing your kids. I don't think that they would not do that. I think they would do it. But I'm just saying, you know, we can have those, just because our parents have done, you know, the most amazing things and have done the best to help us to navigate those times, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have moments that are going to challenge us. Because what if Oliver doesn't want to go travel the world?
What if
he wants to, I don't know, do something different, you know?
Yeah, look,
you don't know. So the crisis and those transformational periods can come either way.
Yeah.
We've got to do our best that outside of those times we're living our lives for ourselves and first and foremost, but when those transitional periods happen, the clarity and purpose comes from really understanding what those chaotic crises moments is trying to show us about ourselves. Is that how you would say
it? How is it this helping me to move into the next level of
And that's it. This is the other thing. Oh, before
what's
we finish
the next
up,
dawning that's about to occur.
Before we finish up, one of the things you say, and I think you may have even mentioned it just now, is that you've got to embrace the new. You want to let go of the old, and you want to you've got it. Like if you're having a baby, you can't mourn the old version of you. The old version of you that was childless and had certain levels of freedom or certain levels or whatever, it's no longer. In order to embrace the transition, you've got to embrace the new you. So when there's a transitional period, rather than figuring out and mourning the loss of the old you, you've got to embrace the new you, understand what the new you is encouraging you to step into.
Yeah.
And when you can embrace the new you, the old you is not a mourning. It's just a love for that version of you that got you to where you are now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's nothing
totally
to mourn. Yeah, I like that.
Totally, totally, totally.
Beautiful. You're in transition right now, Mitchie?
Yes, I'm transitioning to become a Nigerian moon.